You know, much of our entertainment is filled with police and courtroom drama that you think about in TV and movies. And what you see is a crime scene is investigated, and it's sometimes pretty gory to see. And, you know, you look at the possible suspects, and a lot of times justice is carried out, but not always. The detective will examine the evidence. Many times the focus will shift to the criminal's mode of operation, or modus operandi, their M.O. And as you think about that, think about spiritual things and making a spiritual application of that. What we need to recognize is that we have people committing crimes against the Lord's church. And he has a mode of operation which is exposed in the scriptures. We need to recognize how the false teachers deceive people and how they work. And we're going to discuss that this morning along with the responsibilities as members of Christ's body. We need to recognize as you look upon all those who have died at the hands of others, and we are horrified by that. By how many are horrified by the false teachers and the devices, because they are very, very popular. And so what we always try to encourage you to do is to examine the scriptures to see whether these things are so. And if it's not so, you have the responsibility, hopefully after the lesson is over, to correct anything I fail to uphold of God's word. And so this morning we're going to talk about the false teacher's M.O. or his mode of operation. As we consider, first of all, how he appears. You think about how he appears to individuals. I want you to think about the fact that a criminal is not going to tell you, "I'm going to rob you." I think that's ever happened before. Maybe it has. Well, what is he looking for? He's looking for easy prey. He's looking for a place where he can get the most money. Maybe you think about maybe an expensive house, or maybe to those in a parking lot, maybe they have things in a car, valuable things in the car, or maybe you're just not paying attention. And here is where the criminal can take advantage of someone who is not paying attention. They maybe appear to be innocent too, as they may be coming up to you. We need to recognize the same way concerning the false teacher and what the Bible reveals. Unexpected. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and verse 13, the Apostle Paul is writing to brethren, and they're questioning his apostleship. And the Apostle Paul had demonstrated through the miracles, wonders, and signs that he was of God, and they would have seen those miracles, wonders, and signs. And remember that he is dealing with individuals who are quite eloquent in their speech and in their appearance, which they put down the Apostle Paul's appearance. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he talks about individuals here. In verse 13 of 2 Corinthians 11, such men are false apostles, deceitful workers. Notice how they disguise themselves, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. For no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end will be according to their deeds. And so when you think about individuals that are false teachers, you look at their appearance and they appear to be normal individuals. They might have eloquent speech. They might do many good things and speak kindly and gently. But the whole thing is that the Apostle Paul reveals here, he appears as an angel of light. He appears innocent. He appears righteous. And so when you think about the Apostle Paul dealing with the Corinthian brethren, we should think about this example concerning this is the way he's going to appear, not in a red suit with a pitchfork as so many have written. He's like a roaring lion seeking whom may devour, 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. That's what God wants us to think about concerning the devil, and he has his ministers who appear righteous. Well, Jesus talked about false prophets, going back to the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15, he said, "Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then you will know them by their fruits." You'll know them by their teaching, not by their appearance. When you think about concerning the appearance of a criminal, and I can think about one that in Florida, and he appeared innocent to people, and he would ask for help and maybe have a sling on his arm, and he appeared like a normal individual. And these women, he's an attractive guy, and they would talk to him and maybe help him out. And he killed all these women in Florida, many of them. He appeared to be innocent. They weren't prepared for what the evil that he was. That doesn't mean you should judge and condemn everybody that way, but that's how he was able to be that influence that was there, to whereby, oh, this person is great, they're wonderful. They wouldn't be deceptive. You need to be aware. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravenous wolves. You'll know them by their teaching. Another thing that you'll notice about false teachers, that they come covertly. They come secretly. In 2 Peter chapter 2, in 2 Peter chapter 2, in verse 1, the Apostle Peter speaks about this. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, he says, "But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you, who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves." There will be false teachers among you, and how they're going to come. They're going to come innocently. We need to recognize concerning criminals are going to try to disguise themselves. You think about with all the cameras that are out there, you know, on the streets and everything concerning, you know, hey, I can see the person's face and be able to identify somebody. But as you think about the gruesome crime of that woman at the Church of Christ in Midlothian about 2 months ago or so, in full police uniform and still identified, there's a cover-up that is there. Obviously, it's not showing that she actually committed the crime, but very likely she's the one. She was obviously the lady who was found dead in the morning. We need to recognize concerning that there's going to be a disguise. This idea of we have a motive to be able to get to the individuals, and here they secretly come. They come covertly. They come with a disguise. Notice in the book of Jude, in that one chapter, in Jude 1, we usually remember concerning Jude writing to them that he wanted to talk about their common salvation. And that's a wonderful thing, to talk about our common salvation. All the spiritual blessings we enjoy in Jesus Christ. The peace and love and unity that is there. But there was a problem that had arisen there that needed attention of brethren. In verse 4, he said, "Certain persons have crept in unnoticed, those who were long beforehand marked out for this condemnation, ungodly persons who turn the grace of our God into licentiousness and deny our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ." Here, there are those who creep in, and they just come in among them and just don't maybe stand out and maybe gain the confidence of brethren, because they don't want to give away what they're doing. And here they come in among you, and the whole thing is that their motive has turned God's grace into a license to sin. When you think about this idea of covertly and coming innocently here, and you think about concerning God's grace is wonderful, but as you look upon a false teacher of God's grace, they're going to try to exploit that and basically kind of like, okay, we're not under law today. Christ died, nailed the law to the cross, and well, we're under grace today. So the grace of God will just cover your sins. It doesn't matter what you do. God's done it all. Jesus has done it all. He died on the cross for your sins, and so you can live how you want to live. I want you to think about, as you think about that word for license to sin, I think that's a very revealing thing. Imagine telling our teenagers. Imagine telling them there are no rules on the road. You can do whatever you want to do. There's going to be no consequences. Drink and drive, text, do whatever you want, and everything is going to be okay. You say, well, that's ridiculous. Well, of course it's ridiculous. But the idea of we're going to listen to somebody who's going to talk about God's grace, and we'll tell you what you want to hear. We'll tickle your ears. God's grace, they're wanting to turn God's grace into a license to sin. Licentiousness, you might have in your translation there, lasciviousness. But I think the idea where we can easily understand that is a license to sin. You can sin with impunity. You can sin whereby there aren't going to be any consequences for your actions. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Galatian brethren in Galatians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul warned about brethren here. He said, because of the false brethren secretly brought in who had sneaked in to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus in order to bring us into bondage. Now the whole thing is that we want the liberty in Christ to do what is right. As you think about more and more as time goes by, it seems like, hey, the liberty we have in Christ, hey, others want to bring us into bondage, because the problem is the bondage to sin. That is the problem that we're facing. And as you think about concerning those who are sneaking in to spy out liberty in Christ, we want the opportunity for love to serve one another, to do what is right, because we recognize the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Against such things there is no law. That's the liberty we have in Christ to be able to practice these things. But the whole thing is concerning those who want to bring us into bondage. We need to recognize concerning the innocence with which they try to coming undercover. Don't be deceived by them. Some brethren will contend, well, there aren't any false teachers today. Is that what the Bible said, though? No, he said there were false prophets among the people. There will also be false teachers among you. So if somebody says, well, there's no false teachers among us anymore, we better not listen to them. We better listen to God's word and the warnings from God's word. And also notice concerning their speech. In Romans chapter 16, the Apostle Paul, writing to the Roman brethren, in Romans chapter 16, we'll mention about verse 17 a little bit later on as far as our responsibilities. For he talks about men, how they work. Verse 18, the scripture says, concerning these individuals who cause division, he said, such men are slaves, not of our Lord Jesus Christ, but of their own appetites. Well, how do they deceive? And by their smooth and flattering speech, they deceive the hearts of the unsuspecting. Concerning the speech of individuals, you ever heard of individuals concerning that have that smooth and eloquent speech? Well, I can hear that individual all day. They're so wonderful. And you think about those individuals, those criminals who are maybe asking for help, and they've told this story over and over and over and over again. And they can tell it so sweetly to whereby your heart just yearning to help them. We need to be aware of, obviously, we help others in their time of need, but there are those who are professionals and are very eloquent in their speech and are able to use that to deceive others and to give them what they want and can maybe even make a living out of that. We need to recognize concerning false teachers and their smooth and flattering speech. And what do? They deceive as a result. Sometimes you think about concerning those who would use a lot of alliterations. You read through their sentences and they're just so perfect and so profound. But to recognize concerning, you've got to look deeper than that. What is the meaning? What is the motive concerning why they are saying these things? It might sound good to our ears, but it isn't in accordance with God's will. We need to be very careful about that concerning examination, because the problem is The problem is concerning these individuals who have this smooth and flattering speech. They deceive others. They deceive others who aren't suspecting. You think about concerning, I'm not suspecting that this person is a criminal, that they're going to take advantage of me. And so I've got my guard down. And so here they put it out there, and here I'm deceived. But how much more the false teacher who deceived the hearts of the unsuspecting because, well, we don't want to identify false teachers. We don't want to do that. We'll mention that point in just a little bit. It kind of goes along with the point concerning how they work in 2 Peter chapter 2. In 2 Peter chapter 2, remember we mentioned the first verse there about false teachers among you. This is the context of false teachers and how they work. In verse 18, speaking out arrogant words of vanity, they entice by fleshly desires, by sensuality, those who barely escape from the ones who live in error, promising them freedom, while they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by what a man is overcome, by this he is enslaved. What are they going to do? You think about the pride, the vanity. They're going to entice by fleshly desires, to fulfill your fleshly desires. They might talk a lot about freedom. Not the freedom that the Bible talks about, freedom in Christ to do His will, but freedom to do whatever you want to do. Fulfilling your desires. And you notice concerning these individuals that are false teachers, well, what are they? Well, they're slaves of corruption. And hereby, by their speaking, they can make you a slave of corruption too, because you want to hear what they have to say. And thus, as we mentioned in Jude, in that one chapter in verse 4, concerning they turn God's grace into a license to sin. In Galatians 1 in verse 6, isn't it interesting? You're going to see over and over again throughout the New Testament concerning how the false teacher is going to work concerning God's grace and Christ's grace. Where the Apostle Paul told the Galatian brethren, I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting Him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another, only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. Hear a different gospel concerning the grace of Christ and desert Him. You think about what Christ had done, and we just remember that sacrifice and that agonizing death that Christ went through for us. The false teacher didn't give His life for you. And yet we're going to listen to that false teacher, his promise of freedom that sounds so good and so enticing that I like that speech. I don't like the warnings. I don't like the admonitions. I don't like all those things, but this is what God has revealed for our protection. Because the Lord loves us, and you have to have servants that are going to be willing to stand up for the truth of God's Word. So they promise freedom to fulfill desires and turn God's grace into a license to sin. In the end, you think about concerning motivation. Concerned about following Jesus Christ? Well, we think about following Jesus Christ as following His Word. And the Apostle Paul warned the brethren, the elders at Ephesus in Acts chapter 20. Are you listening to the Word of God? In Acts chapter 20, as he's with the Ephesian elders here, and he gives them strong warnings here. In Acts chapter 20, he said, from among your own selves men will arise, speaking perverse things. And here's what they're trying to do. To draw away the disciples after them. And so any way that you can get away from the true teacher, you think about the Apostle Paul and others who are standing up for what's right, and here to draw away the disciples and not want you to notice where they're coming from too. He said, and from among your own selves men will arise. You think about concerning the eldership there at Ephesus. Here, concerning men will arise, and their motivation is to draw away the disciples after them. We mentioned in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1 about false teachers among you. And then we notice concerning the followers here in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. What kind of influence do they have? Are we paying attention to the Word of God? We think that this is not reality of what the Bible says is different because we're in the 21st century. No, he said in verse 2, he said, many, Many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of the truth will be maligned. That word for maligned there means evil spoken of. Many are going to follow the false teacher, and they're going to speak evil of the truth. And so when you think about it and compare concerning the false teachers, concerning here, they're trying to draw away the disciples after them. Is that a noble motive? No, that's selfish. That's greedy. You think about concerning Christ and His sacrifice. Are we going to listen to Him? We're going to listen to the apostles who spoke the Word of God, who are inspired to speak? Are we going to listen to the false teachers and, you know, allow ourselves to be deceived by them? Draw away the disciples and greedy for gain. Some are greedy for gain. In that same chapter, 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 3, the next phrase there, and in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their judgment from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. Exploit you with false words. Well, they're greedy for gain. They're going to use lies, aren't they? I want you to think concerning how you train your heart. You think about concerning your life. Well, you know, the false teacher was honest and sincere about his idea. So, well, we won't call him a false teacher. Yes, that has happened among brethren and still has an effect and influence today. He's a good guy. We know him. But he teaches error. Well, I disagree with his error on this subject, whether it's marriage, divorce, remarriage, or something else. But we can have fellowship with him because we believe that he is honest and sincere. You see how the devil works? We've given the warning concerning honesty and sincerity, and you think about concerning the motivation and how they're training their heart. As we look upon ourselves, we are training our heart. Are we training our heart by the Word of God? Are we going to allow ourselves to be deceived by somebody who speaks sweet, swelling words that make us feel good, that tells a lot of jokes and tells a lot of stories? And here you look upon their heart, going back to verse 14 here in the context. He said, having eyes full of adultery that never cease from sin, enticing unstable souls, having a heart trained in greed. They're training their heart in greedy things. We need to be training ourselves concerning that godliness with contentment. That is great gain. Not concerning as a false teacher, concerning being greedy for gain. You think about those who are false teachers, many TV evangelists, and you look at their mansions and their fancy cars and beautiful wives and lifestyles of the rich and famous and all that they have, and they might even have a bodyguard to anybody who's going to try to deal with them. And I understand concerning protection, but here concerning this individual, and here are those poor elderly people to extort money from them. And maybe if you've had a grandmother or others that have been extorted by false teachers, we've got to have this money or else I'm going to die. Oral Roberts had done that many, many years ago. And my grandmother and many others were deceived. They felt so sorry for them. And here they are. Many of them are very rich, using these extortionist methods on those who could least afford to do it, but taking advantage of them. We need to recognize concerning their motivation. In Titus chapter 1, after he talks about the qualification of elders, he said there in verse 10, he said, there are many rebellious men, empty talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, who must be silenced. Why? Because they are upsetting whole families, teaching things they should not teach for the sake of sordid gain. One of themselves, a prophet of their own, said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. That's what was said about them. He said, this testimony is true for this reason. Reprove them severely so that they may be sound in the faith. Notice it concerning many rebellious, many empty talkers and deceivers. I want you to look upon the emphasis in the Word of God that there are many, but by the teaching that you hear in our country, you would think that there's no false teachers out there, except for maybe the ones who are narrow-minded and bigoted, and actually teach the Word of God. There are the problems. And many false teachers allowed to go without any repercussions, without any rebuke, maybe. But you notice here concerning the idea, what were they doing? They were upsetting whole families. Here they were causing problems. They're causing division. And so he writes to them about these things. That's why you look upon concerning the elders and their importance, concerning those who will be able to exhort in sound doctrine or refute those who contradict. The old King James would say convict the gainsayer. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, the Apostle Paul writing Timothy here, 1 Timothy chapter 6, he said, if anyone advocates a different doctrine and does not agree with sound words, those of our Lord Jesus Christ, with a doctrine conforming to godliness, he is conceited and understands nothing. But he has a morbid interest in controversial questions and disputes about words out of which arise envy, strife, abusive language, evil suspicions, and constant friction between men of depraved mind and deprived of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain, but godliness actually is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. We've got to agree with sound words. This is how the false teachers deceive and how they work. We need to recognize concerning the importance of the responsibilities of faithful brethren. What are we going to do? We're going to test what is taught by the Word of God. The Apostle John said that in 1 John chapter 4. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1, he said, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Why? Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Notice in verse 6, he said, we are from God. Talking about you think about the apostles here. We are from God. He who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Test what is taught by the Word of God, no matter who it is, no matter who that you hear, no matter who that you might even trust. You test to see what they're saying by the Word of God. Not willing to listen to the Word of the apostles? There's a spirit of error. What we must do concerning those arguments that are raised up against the knowledge of God. We read in Jude 1, verse 4, how they're going to come and turn God's grace into a license to sin. Well, he said, I urge you that you contend earnestly for the faith, which is once for all delivered to the saints. The idea is not going to change. It's not going to change with the times. You think about the false teachers concerning, he can appeal to the audience because here the changing of the times, and he can speak as the world does. He said that in 1 John 4, verse 5, you know, they are from the world, therefore they speak as from the world, and the world listens to them. The world will listen to them. And they are, even today. But you listen to the Word of God. You recognize it's going to be an agonizing thing. Contend earnestly for the faith. What have we got to do? In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, Apostle Paul teaches us how we are to accomplish that goal. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, and it's not carnal methods. He said, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but they are what? Divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And we are ready to punish all disobedience whenever your obedience is complete. But somebody says, well, you know, the Word of God doesn't work today. People aren't listening. And so what's the point concerning the art? That's where the devil works. The devil works in our minds. The god of this world is blinding the minds of the unbelieving that they might not see the gospel, the glory of the Christ. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4. And so if he can work on the mind to deceive people, we need to recognize and cast those things down that are raised up against the knowledge of Christ. And I want you to think about the goal of that. What did the Apostle Paul say was the goal? He said, so that brethren will be obedient to Christ. He's talking to Christians here, that they might be obedient to Christ. He had this idea of, well, all you have to do is believe. You don't have to be obedient to Christ. We need to recognize that's raised up against the knowledge of God. Well, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, somebody says, well, I don't listen to anybody who calls names from the pulpit. I don't think you should do that. I don't think that's very nice to do. You need to talk to him first before. Well, you think about those who have publicly proclaimed error, and you think about all the error that's out there, about how impossible it would be to go to every false teacher out there and to be able to say, well, here concerning the Pope or others that are in error, and we've got to go to every single one. We recognize from the Apostle Paul warned about individuals. Now, he didn't name every single one, but he certainly warned about those concerning Timothy to watch out for. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, the Apostle Paul mentioned about those who have worldly and empty chatter. He said in verse 17, "And their talk will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, men who have gone astray from the truth, saying this." They named those who are teaching the error and their doctrine. And the doctrine was, he said here, and it's saying that the resurrection has already taken place, and they upset the faith of some. Here the faith of some of those would be upset. And can you believe, as this is written in the first century, we have those who are saying among us, among those in the churches of Christ, to say there is no the resurrection has already passed today. And the 80-70 doctrine, I don't have time to go into that. It's on a sermon on the website about that. But we have it concerning that's caused division in our area. And so that's what we warn about, false teachers and their errors, specifically concerning Max King and that area, error on the 80-70 doctrine. And so what have you got to do in Romans chapter 16? In Romans chapter 16, we read how they worked with their smooth and flattering speech. They deceived the hearts of the unsuspecting. In Romans chapter 16, verse 17, we see the responsibilities of faithful brethren. He said, "I urge you, brethren, keep your eye on or mark those who cause dissensions and hindrances, contrary to the teaching which you learn, and turn away from them." The old King James would say, mark and avoid them who are causing division. Now, if somebody is causing division, is it always a problem? There might be those, a church that is in error, and they need to be corrected. Notice what he says here concerning those who cause division. Contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, the teaching of Christ with it which they had learned, that's what they are to stand for. And not allow error to corrupt them, not allow to be deceived by the smooth and flattering speech of the false teacher. As mentioned there, Romans chapter 16, verse 18. And also in 2 John, and the Apostle John, speaking here in 2 John, in this one chapter, in 2 John 1 and verse 9, "Anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. The one who abides in the teaching, he has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house. Do not give him a greeting," the New American Standard says, King James and New King James, better concerning bidding Godspeed. "For the one who bids him Godspeed participates in his evil deed." Don't bid Godspeed to those who are not abiding in the doctrine or the teaching of Christ. And Lord willing, we're going to try to make specific application concerning next week. I know we mentioned a few names here this morning, but problems in churches of Christ beginning next week. You know, Jesus Christ died so that man might be saved, might be holy like him and go to heaven. Titus chapter 2, verse 11 through 14. You know, God's grace has appeared to all men, and it teaches us something to live godly lives, to look forward to his blessed hope and appearing of our great God and Savior Christ Jesus. You know, he gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed. Not that we might live in sin, that grace may abound. No, God forbid. The Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. How shall we who died to sin live any longer therein? Satan is going to use false teacher to deceive people. They're going to be lost and go to torment. Many are following that broad way that leads to destruction. Right after he mentioned that, Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, he immediately talks about who? He talks about the false prophets. He talks about the false teachers who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You know, just like in a criminal investigation, an MO can be really hard to find concerning this individual. And sometimes you look upon it might be hard to spot the ones who teach error, but it's there. because they appear righteous. They use flattering speech. They promise full freedom to fulfill your lust. They are motivated by pride and greed. Some are, maybe not all, but some definitely are. We need to recognize the great danger that is there. How many will teach, all you have to do is believe in Jesus and you're going to go to heaven. You hear that almost everywhere, but did Jesus teach that? No, Jesus didn't teach that. There are going to be those who call Jesus Lord and expect to receive, well, come in, servant of mine. But we'll be told, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. You're practicing lawlessness. You didn't do the will of my Father who is in heaven. You were deceived. I mean, the whole thing is concerning, well, the false teacher, oh, he's corrupt and he deserves torment and all of that. Well, you and me are responsible. I'm more responsible because I'll be judged more strictly because I preach the gospel because of that influence. But you're going to be there before the Lord. And the false teacher is not going to be there to defend you. It's going to be you and the Lord. How will you respond on that day? It's determined by how you are living right now. Because the whole thing is, I don't want to hear what you have to say because I believe I've accepted Christ as my personal Savior. I accept Him as Lord, and so nothing of what you say, well, don't worry about what I say, but what has the Lord said? Because He's going to judge you in the last day. And He wants you to be saved. Why would you not just, you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, obey Him. He's the author of eternal salvation to all who obey Him. Don't be deceived like the Apostle Peter preached in the name of Jesus Christ. They were convicted that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. What shall we do? He told them, repent. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. That's the authority. For what reason? For the forgiveness of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And those who heard the word, they joyfully received it. About 3,000 did and were baptized. The whole thing is, you don't want to receive that. Jesus would say, why do you call me Lord? You call me Lord. Why don't you do what I say? Trust and obey Him. We sang many songs about heaven and how wonderful that is. But we're not going to be able to go to heaven concerning that if we're going to allow ourselves to be deceived and think I can just live a comfortable life. No, we need to live for the Lord. But first of all, we've got to bury that old man of sin and rise to walk in newness of life. If you're a penitent believer, why are you waiting? Saul was told, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Do you need to respond to the gospel invitation? Don't wait another minute. If you're subject to heaven's invitation, if you need to obey the gospel, or as a Christian you need to be restored, God calls, we encourage you, come right now as we stand and sing the psalm of encouragement.